You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1995 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother John Warner titled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ.
I was asked to speak on the theme, which is on the front of your program, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengtheneth Me. The Revised Version and the New International Version say, through Him who strengtheneth me. But the idea, I think, as we'll see in a moment, remains very much the same. Brother Arthur's opening prayer, I could not help but say amen to the fact that he asked many times for strength from the Almighty. This beautiful psalm which we have just read, Brother Mike read for us, begins, and I think it's one of the most positive of the Psalms, with just such a request and with such an acknowledgement. Reading from the RSV, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And as you look through the rest of the psalm, I think it has that same sort of positive aspect. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a wonderful theme, and one which, unlike the theme for Sharon Woods, for those of you who were there, it took a week to memorize, we can all remember. It's the kind of positive thing that we can carry with us in our life, and should carry with us in our life. Some of you, probably showing some age, will remember a preacher by the name of Norman Vincent Peale, minister, who was known for his books on positive thinking. And I can remember a saying of the time, since I've heard Norman Vincent Peeling, I've lost that run-down feeling. But I think there is that aspect to this subject. If God is for us, who can be against us? We think we have problems, we have no problems. Good understanding of the scripture will tell you that if God is with you, then there is simply nothing that is a barrier. Nothing. Cancer? Catastrophe? Nothing. We know that if God is for us, we shall live and see Him and rejoice in that day. It's the most positive expression of our faith that we can have. I can do all things in Christ who strengtheneth me. I think of the psalmist who says in Psalm 18, with my God I can crush a troop. With my God I can jump over a wall. And I think of that. I can't always make it over the wall. But that wonderful attitude, and any athlete will tell you that's true, that simply by putting that mental image in front of you and with that feeling of success, that projected image, you can do more than you thought you could. And so we can understand the psalmist who says very positively, with my God, I can jump over a wall. Now, one way in which this can apply to us in a very beautiful way, I think, is found in the example of Jonathan. You remember when David was simply chased out of his home, out of his previous position, and was forced like an outlaw to live by living off the land, that Jonathan went to him. And I'd like you to look at the text. I'm sure you're aware of it, but it's a very beautiful text. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16. Let me begin for context. David was afraid because Saul had come out to seek him in verse 15 to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. Wonderful. I often wish that we had more about this wonderful person, Jonathan. But what we have is enough to tell us that Jonathan was a wonderful friend, a true friend. He could have gone and said, well, I know my father is a rat. He could have said a lot of comforting things, but he didn't. He strengthened his hand in the Lord. We can do that for one another. We can talk about trivia. We do it all the time. I'm guilty of it. But the important, the lasting, the eternal thing, to strengthen one another in the Lord, is a wonderful thing. To be strong in the Lord is to be confident, to be assured. The psalmist says in Psalm 37, in that beautiful passage from which our Lord quotes several times, just a short excerpt beginning at verse 23, "The steps of a man are from the Lord, and he establishes him in whose way he delights. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. For the Lord is the stay of his hand." And then that wonderful expression, "I have been young and now am old, and yet have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." The steps of a man are from the Lord, and he establishes him in whose way he delights. But I'd like you now to go back and look at the actual text, which is Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. And preparatory to that, note, as perhaps you've noted before, that this letter to the Philippians, to those in Philippi, is a wonderful, positive letter. Paul felt very close to these people. The irony is that he stayed with beasts in Ephesus, with cantankerous, quarrelsome schismatics in Corinth, and he had so little time that he could spend with those in Philippi, where he was forced to leave. But he knew them well, Epaphroditus, Clement, the Philippian jailer. "And therefore, my brethren," he begins the 4th chapter, "whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." And really all of that opening introduction is almost like the opening of the letter itself. Wonderful, enthusiastic, heartwarming. But then he comes to the fact that he has been beaten to a pulp. He has had troubles wherever he's gone. They have sent comforters and money and help and assistance to him. And for that he's thankful. But then he says in the 12th verse, "But I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger." I'm pretty good at facing plenty. I don't think I'm very good at facing hunger. I don't think any of us are. But Paul said he had done it, and he wasn't concerned about it. He knew how to have an abundance and to praise God, and he knew how to have nothing and to praise God. And it's in this context that he says, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, as it says in the Authorized Version. But Paul was directly commissioned by the Lord Jesus. Paul was directly told that he must suffer many things for the name of Jesus. And Paul actually had Jesus come to him in his prayer in the temple. As he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So that very, very directly, Paul could see Christ in front of him, and perhaps frequently, more than those few times which we have mentioned. He had those revelations of which he speaks in the 2nd letter to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter many times. So that the Lord Jesus directly was there at his side, and he knew it and felt it and was able to converse with him. So that these words, I suggest, and I hope it doesn't dampen them in any way, had a particular impact to the apostle. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we'll take a look at the passage that I had reference to, I think it might be a good idea, that 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and beginning at the 7th verse, the context for Paul making this statement, and reading the 7th and the 8th and the 9th verses of the 12th chapter, and to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations he's already spoken about in the early verses, the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Certainly not an eye condition, by the way, because these abundance of revelations came after his conversion on the way on the road to Damascus, and seemed to have come for a number of years afterward. But be that as it may, he goes on to say that it was like a messenger of Satan, or Satan, to harass me and keep me from being too elated. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, and I take that to mean directly the Lord Jesus said, "My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. The word power and the word strength are from the word dynamite. I know that's rather strange, but when we see that, that is the idea that we get and are supposed to get from this word, from Christ who strengthens me, who makes me like dynamite. Particularly then, it had this important aspect to the Apostle Paul. But now I want to break from that and talk about the most important thing. Brother Harry used to say, in all of your Bible reading, there are two things to be on the lookout for: the Lord Jesus and yourself. I may be paraphrasing, but I think that that is good advice. If we can see ourselves as very much in need of the strength which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, then I think it is necessary and important for our community to think a little bit more about Jesus. It's one of the ironies that we are called Christadelphians. We'll return to that in a moment. Brethren in Christ. And yet, we almost eschew the mention of the glorified Christ. It's as though we are reactionary in our community, and I think we have been. And I think it's one of the ways in which we can grow to go beyond that. There is no question that we are correct in our understanding of the eternal God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the great event of the New Testament, the great event of the Bible, is the resurrection. And with the resurrection, we are introduced to the glorified Christ. And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. At which point, we always have an asterisk and at least two paragraphs to explain that Christ, of course, did not create the world. But as far as I can understand, that is what the entire first chapter of the book of Hebrews is about: the new creation in Christ. And the question ultimately comes down, brothers and sisters, is Christ walking among the candlesticks today, or were they extinguished, and was Christ extinguished in the first century? Have you ever thought about that? Isn't it funny that we say, but Christ was very much there in the midst of Sardis, Laodicea, but Christ isn't there today. He's removed. He's in heaven at the right hand, because I know the Apostles' Creed. And I'm not being entirely facetious, because I think we do that in our minds sometimes. We say at the end of a wonderful long prayer, we say, oh, and by the way, in the name of Christ. As though Christ wasn't fully involved with all of our prayers and our petitions. But take a look at the second chapter because it tells us that. Second chapter and the concluding ideas of the second chapter of Hebrews, beginning at the 16th verse, for surely it is not with angels that he's concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make expiation. I wish that word wasn't there, but to make a covering for the sins of the people. And then he says, for because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. And again, in the fourth chapter and at the 16th verse, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If there's one thing that the writer of the Hebrews says over and over and over again, it is, lift up the hands that are shaking and the knees which are quaking. Straighten them with confidence because we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God and knows exactly our needs and our fears and our anxieties. When we read then that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, I think that it is also valid for us to say in this day. Yes, it did have a special application to the Apostle Paul. There was never a circumstance quite like that. Hasn't been since. And I know that sometimes we perhaps feel presumptuous, but to be aware of the presence of Christ is a very healthy thing. I would like to conclude with two passages. The first is from Peter's second letter. And it is, in fact, the conclusion to the letter, beginning at the 13th verse. He says, but according to his promise, we wait for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwelleth or dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you wait for these, be zealous to be found in him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the forbearance of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable wrest to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, beware lest you be carried away with the error of the lawless man and lose your own stability. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The Apostle Peter expressed that as his final prayer for the brothers and sisters in diaspora. And finally, the letter to the Colossians, first chapter, beginning at the 11th verse and continuing through the 20th verse, Colossians 1, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And the last phrase that I would like you to look at is found later in the chapter, beginning verse 27. To them and to us, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We say brethren in Christ, and we're quite right. But it's a wonderful thing to think of the other aspect of that. It is Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. And just as much as it is possible to have some of Christ in us, so that when he sees us and we see him, we will love him and he will love us. So it is important to remember our passage tonight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you.